Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. It is my pleasure to have as our guest today, Evie King, who is currently the Executive Director of Independent, a wellness community built by military spouses in 2013 for military spouses of all branches of the U.S. Armed Services. Evie has been the Executive Director for the past 3 years. A former Army brat, Evie said she would never marry into the military. But after 3 years of long-distance dating, she married her soldier in 2011. They have gone through 3 deployments, moved to 4 different duty stations, and had 1 overseas assignment to South Korea. Evie was named the 2017 Armed Forces Insurance Spouse of the Year for Fort Bragg. Evie, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on this podcast.
Patty, it is such a pleasure to speak with you and the rest of the AUSA community who will be listening to this.
Evie, you're an Army brat who never envisioned herself being an Army spouse. What were your career goals before marrying your soldier, and how has your military marriage affected or changed those goals?
Yes, both my parents were both Army, active duty Army. My mom was a nurse and my dad was in the Signal Corps. And I don't know why, I just thought to myself, I will not marry a soldier. It wasn't that I had interacted with a lot of soldiers, but I didn't really see myself moving for somebody else's career. I was very career driven. I actually moved to Ohio to work for a manufacturing company right after college. And I probably got promoted every year to every year and a half. I went from working in their internal audit department to working in their corporate accounting department. And my last position before I got married, I was the plant accountant, actually one of their plants in Virginia. And I probably could have stayed my entire career with this company. They had a lot of opportunities to move, which is something that I really loved. It's interesting because I've always struggled with the question of, okay, where do you see yourself in 5 years? But for the first time, I remember working at this company and someone asking me that, and I was able to give them a very clear answer. So I really saw myself having a future with this company. And it was an industry that I enjoyed. I still, to this day, find manufacturing absolutely fascinating. Since moving to Fort Campbell and getting married, though, you know, my career has not followed that very clean path that it was following before I got married. I did not have a job at Fort Campbell. I don't want to say that I fully embraced the traditional military spouse role, but in many ways I did.
It is so hard, isn't it? And it's such a shock to have a career that seems to be really flourishing, especially right out of college. And then all of a sudden you hit a dead stop because you married someone whose career basically takes precedence over our own. And getting to Fort Campbell, how did you manage that, maybe that first 6 months of transition?
Well, before we got married, there were definitely a lot of tears. I remember crying before I got married, and my husband didn't understand. He was very uncomfortable with seeing me crying and sad, because to him, we were getting married and this was a happy moment. And I said, I'm very, very happy to be marrying you, but I am very sad to be leaving a career that I am enjoying and thriving in. And when I put it that way, he understood. When I got to Fort Campbell, like I said, I dove headfirst into what I thought being a military spouse meant, which was I volunteered as the FRG leader, even though my husband was not the company commander at the time and the unit was deploying. So I did that, and we held, you know, monthly meetings. I would go visit families. I did all of that. I got involved in different spouse groups. At the time, General McConville was the first 101st commander, and his wife is a huge supporter of resilience and the Master Resilience program. And so she offered a pilot program to teach military spouses the Master Resilience Program, and then we could take it then to our brigades and our units and teach it to the families so that the family members and the soldiers were speaking the same language when it came to resilience. And so I raised my hand and fully immersed myself in that, going to all of the classes and then helping 2nd Brigade, which was the brigade that my husband was in, sort of establish a program and what that would look like. So I was training soldiers, I was training family members and everything like that. So at Fort Campbell, I wasn't really thinking about a job. But after that, we moved to Fort Lee. We were only there for 6 months, and you can't really do too much in 6 months from an employment standpoint. So again, I just enjoyed the moment. I enjoyed the fact that I didn't have the pressure to find a job. And still to this day, I look back on that time very fondly. I did find employment in Korea, but it was as an admin assistant at a child development center.
Oh my.
And that was probably, not because it was complicated, one of the hardest jobs I have ever had, because it did not line up with anything that I was really passionate about, besides the fact that I would love, you know, going into the room and giving some of the child development workers a break. And I got to hang out with like little babies and everything like that. But other than that, it was a very difficult job because I was more miserable than my spouse, who was a company commander at the time, and working from 5 a.m. in the morning until 10, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So that taught me a lot about the importance of, it's not just getting a job. And I understand that not every job I'm going to have is going to light my fire. But if the job is really draining you and is just not in line with anything that you value, I don't know. I just don't know if it was worth the time that I spent doing it, especially living in a foreign country. You know, I missed out on a lot of opportunities.
That's such a fantastic point. And I would say that that's also true for volunteer work. As a registered nurse that never really practiced nursing because of all of our moves, I tried to make up the difference in what I did as a volunteer. And you just have to be passionate about what you're doing. And that's really good insight. It's not something that we hear very much. And so I appreciate you saying that. Evie, when you got to Fort Bragg, though, you were named the 2017 AFI Military Spouse of the Year for Fort Bragg. Can you tell us a little bit about your platform there and what led you to get that title?
Sure. So when I moved to Fort Bragg, I found this wonderful organization called Independent, and they were having meetups in the area. So probably 2 weeks after, or not even 2 weeks, we were still living in the hotel. I drove to Southern Pines, which, if you're familiar with Fort Bragg, is on the complete opposite side of anything that's on the base. So it was about a 50-minute drive. I drove to this home of this woman named Leslie. I had never interacted with her really before that. And we really hit it off. I met some really lovely spouses, but Leslie, I guess I must have said something. And she asked me later if I wanted to volunteer for the organization. And I said yes. So throughout that year, my role with the organization changed. I went from being a community volunteer at the Fort Bragg area to leading all of their volunteers, to becoming the operations manager. And my platform, because they always ask you what your platform is when you win the award, was around military family health and wellness, mostly because it became something, and it still is something, that I'm extremely passionate about. And I remember at the time of voting, I counted all of the fast food restaurants that were on Fort Bragg to bring awareness to the fact that we're a community that is constantly asking her soldiers to make healthy food choices because it directly impacts the readiness of the force. And then we have military families who are also having to make food choices that impact their health and wellness. Yet most of the food choices that are on the base are all fast food. And so at the time, there were 6 Burger Kings, 6 fried chicken restaurants, and over 10 Subways and Charlie's. And I remember hating any time I did not give my husband leftovers or some meal that I had made for him to bring to lunch, because I knew that if I didn't do that, his go-to was going to be Burger King or, you know, any of the other fast food restaurants on there. So I really wanted to bring awareness to that and start saying, hey, can we offer healthier choices out there, because there are. And it makes me so happy to see recently that one of the bases is potentially getting a Panera bread. You know, there are a number of healthier fast food options out there that I think that bases should start considering. And so that was my platform at the time back in 2017. And while I still think that's important, now, especially working with independent, we focus more on the overall health and wellness of military families, and eating is only a small portion of that. So
I absolutely agree with what you're saying about healthy food choices. And I would just say that the Army Public Health Center has really made an effort to elevate healthy food choices on the installation, and have done a lot of work with the AFIs and the commissaries so that more healthy choices are available. And I've seen the difference at some of the commissaries that I've gone to. So your work it was not in vain. Evie, I think that...
Well, I don't know if I had any impact on that, but you are right. I did a whole 30 when I was working on base, because I eventually got a job, a full-time position working on Fort Bragg. And I remember going to the Shopette that was nearby and had way more options than I was expecting for me to partake in. And you're right, the commissary has done an amazing job offering healthier food choices, especially some more of the convenient food that sometimes, you know, you just are in that grab and go place in life because life got a little bit crazy. And I am very appreciative and have noticed, like you said, the impact that the hard work that the organizations are doing or having on the commissaries and the shopettes.
So, Evie, I have to admit that I have loved independent for almost since the beginning. And it's been, it's such a great concept and a super important one. As you know, AUSA has been honored to sponsor your signature event for the past 3 years. We're one of your sponsors, and that is the Independent Wellness Summit, formerly known as the Military Spouse Wellness Summit. I love it. Can you tell our listeners what makes this summit so special?
I think what makes the summit so special and unique is the fact that it is 100% online. So part of Independent's mission is to make wellness accessible. So by having an online wellness summit, we have removed what are common barriers for military spouses to invest in their well-being, which is cost. We have general admission, which is free, and then leaving the house and finding childcare or using some of their precious vacation days to do something if they're working. And so the summit can kind of fit in anywhere at any time in a military spouse's life. All of the interviews are pre-recorded, so you can listen to them in the form of a podcast. And then the other really beautiful thing, and this was something that really hit me when I was living overseas, is there are so many wonderful in-person military spouse events, but not everyone can attend because, again, you have that barrier of travel. And so what is really lovely about the Military Spouse Wellness Summit is for an entire week, military spouses all over the world can attend an event that is created specifically for them so that they can take these things that they're listening to in the interview and either apply it to their life, have a conversation with their spouse, or share it with their community. And it's been a joy to be able to create something that fits into the military lifestyle so seamlessly.
Absolutely. And Evie, you've got some really interesting speakers. It's not your average, you know, neighbor that you know that happens to have knowledge on a certain topic. Not that neighbors that have knowledge on certain topics is a bad thing, but you've got some names on there. Who are some of your favorites, if you can think of them?
So some of my favorites this year, we have Chris Bailey, who is a productivity expert from Canada, and his interview, which is really fun for me because it goes in a direction that I think most people would not expect from a productivity expert interview. It's not, you know, how can you do more with less time and cut, you know, all of this waste out of your life. It goes in a different direction than that, which was really apparent when we had the spouses kind of sharing their thoughts who have listened to it already. Another one of my favorites this year is Dr. Angela Duckworth. She wrote the book Grit, and she works a lot with the military, actually understanding grit and resilience and perseverance. And we had her speak to the grit and resilience of military families and even children, which I really love that she brought it up. So she was able to take her research and then just apply it to everyday life. And then understanding, because she's done some with the military community, she was then able to talk about specifically the challenges and the struggles that military families go with. And understanding, one of the things that she brought up was what we kind of talked about a couple of minutes ago, is the idea of volunteering and the importance of volunteering in a way that fills you up rather than drains you. And so I really appreciate it, especially in a community that very much so encourages military spouses or Army spouses to volunteer. She explained the importance of volunteering in a way that aligns with your values and also is something that you're passionate about.
No, that sounds so terrific. And I have been hoarding my recording so that I could listen to them over the weekend, because I have been able to participate the last couple of years, and it's been so great. But Independent does more than just that wonderful summit that you do every year. You have a yearly plan of many different things and topics. And one of the topics that you've been focusing on is alcohol consumption among military spouses. And why this topic? Why now?
Well, I think this topic is something that happens in the military community, but we didn't really see anyone talking about it. So we have this new program that we launched called Wellness Unfiltered, where we talk about some of the tougher topics within wellness. And then we provide conversation starters or some tips on, you know, if you have someone bring this up, or if a neighbor talks about it, or if you want to talk about it, here are some things to keep in mind. And so what we're really hoping is not only just addressing these tougher topics, but also giving the community confidence to really actively be there for someone who might be going through this or might want to talk to them about it. And one of those is alcohol consumption in the military spouse community. And it was sort of for two reasons. One, I was scrolling through Facebook one day and I saw a friend of mine, or an acquaintance is probably the best way to put it. And she had posted a picture of herself, and the caption was, "Can't wait for my children to go to sleep." Her husband was deployed, just to put it in context. "Can't wait for my children to go to sleep so I can have my one glass of wine." And it was one of those glasses that fits the entire bottle of wine. And I was looking at the comments and everyone was laughing, and other spouses were like, "Oh yeah, you know, it's the glass of wine that like saves me," and all of this stuff. And I realized, like, am I the only one who sees this as a cry for help? So I started doing some research into what resources were out there and what experts were talking about this topic. Nobody. There was nobody out there specifically talking about military spouse alcohol consumption. There were tons of resources for you as a military spouse if your veteran is doing that, or if your soldier is consuming alcohol in an unhealthy manner. But there was really nothing for military spouses. And the more that I researched, I realized alcohol is such a normalized thing in the military community. And Independent's not saying it's a bad thing, but at what point do you realize that it might not be a choice that you're making that is enabling you to make healthy decisions and invest in your well-being, and it becomes more of an unhealthy coping mechanism?
I think I just commend you so much, because it's one of those conversations that can be very uncomfortable. People could get very defensive. And for the most part, people that, and of course, you know, we all enjoy a glass of wine or two, and I certainly would not pass up the opportunity to have a nice glass of wine with dinner. But for people that it becomes more than that, many times family members and or spouses, they just don't know how to approach the subject. So being able to provide tools where you can talk about it, I think, is so incredibly important. And so kudos to you and to Independent for doing that. And maybe speaking about Independent, you've made a huge decision as it pertains to the organization. you've decided to step down as the executive director. But when I read your post on Facebook and I read why, I thought to myself, good for you. Practicing what you preach, I'm really, really proud of you. So can you share with what your decision process was about this change?
Yes, I can say that it definitely helps that I work for an organization that lives the values that we are trying to instill in the military spouse community. And so when I started thinking about this, and eventually I told the other members of the leadership team that I was thinking of stepping down, everyone was very encouraging of me. So I mentioned before that I had a full-time job when I was at Fort Bragg. I still have that full-time job. Independent is still a volunteer-run organization. And I just started realizing that because Independent has such a need in the community and we have such an opportunity to really make an impact, that the organization needed somebody who was able to devote more time than I was. And it was a very hard realization to have with yourself when you basically have to admit that you are not the right person for the job at the time. And I sort of had to swallow my pride and admit that there is somebody else out there that is more suited for this opportunity than I am. I'm still going to stay with the organization, but it will be in a less of a leadership role. And I also realized that some of the things that I was doing as the executive director, talking about volunteering and your passion and everything aligning, was not in line with things that I am passionate about. And so not to say that it was draining, I'm not burnt out or anything, but I didn't want to get to that point. And I did not feel that as the executive director of a health and wellness organization, that it was a good practice for me, somebody who should be really showing myself as an example, to push myself to the point where I was burned out just because I didn't want to tell anyone, hey, I really need to step back. And so the team was very supportive of it, and people understand that. And actually, I've gotten a number of messages from people saying, hey, I know that took a lot of courage, and you've made me think about my own position or whatever it is that I'm doing. Because I don't think that we, and actually Dr. Duckworth talks about this, you know, like you shouldn't, everything shouldn't be painful. And it's okay to step back, and it's not quitting.
As military spouses, we have to know when we can go full throttle and when we have to step back. And those of us, and I learned it in a very later part of life, but those of us that can just step back a minute and catch our breaths, we're actually doing everyone a service, because then they get the best of us instead of a very tired us, if you will.
No, I think, and that, honestly, Patty, that is at the center of the decision, that was it. I realized that I was not doing the organization, that I was not being the best for the organization where I was. And as a result, I felt like I was letting the team down. So you're right. When you are able to put yourself forward and really be there for the team, you know, they're getting the best version of you. But then when things aren't going that way, and when you realize that it's time to move on, don't wait until the organization and the team is suffering because it's a hard discussion to have. It's almost like a breakup, right? You know, like the longer you put it off does not mean that it's going to get any better. It's still going to be a really difficult conversation. So why not do it when the organization has not suffered because you still haven't had that conversation with them, was sort of what I wanted. I wanted to wait, say, hey, we're still thriving. I'm not leaving because the organization is not thriving. I'm leaving because the organization is thriving, and now is the time because it can weather this storm, because it's going to be a transition.
Oh, absolutely. And there's always a wonderful, rejuvenated or a very excited person behind you that's going to step up. And I see that, and I know that Independent will continue to thrive with you being involved, with Michelle being involved, but with somebody else, you know, stepping up to take that leadership role. Evie, it has been such a pleasure to speak with you today. And are there any last thoughts before we close?
Yes. So the only thing that I would say is, if you are a military spouse who is listening to this podcast, I want to encourage you today to do something to invest in your well-being. We here at Independent, 100% support you on that decision. And I think that often there's a lot of guilt associated with it, especially if it's not something that involves your family. But sort of like what we were just talking about now, you cannot be the best for your family if you are not taking care of yourself. So I just want you to know that that's something that Independent will always encourage you to do, because we understand that by doing so, we are helping the entire military community. And self-care is not selfish. It is probably the best thing that you can actually do for your family.
I'm going to cross-stitch that and put it on a wall. We've come to the end of our podcast episode. To all our listeners, thank you for joining us. And to you, Evie, thank you for being such a wonderful guest. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Thought Leaders. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.